This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Snyder back in the pocket. Pressure coming up the middle against Snyder. Fires up the middle. It's intercepted. Who else but Sean Dolak does it again? Dolak is going to go down inside the 40-yard line with his fourth interception of the season.
You be Sean Dolak picking off one of two last night.
Former UB quarterback Cole Snyder. Yeah.
That's what made that win even better, was that you'd beat the quarterback that was your guy last year, and he's not that good of a quarterback.
So, I mean, and all that notwithstanding, it's also a player that just makes plays, and that's good for UB to be able to really try to get yourself in contention here for the MAC championship.
I think they're
a big deal.
I think they're already out for this year. Due to, I think, Toledo losing last night. I think Toledo needed a win for them to have a real shot. Because that's the team they beat. They lost to Ohio, who's the other. I mean, they beat Toledo. It looks like it's going to be them, and I think maybe Miami of Ohio. But for me, it's more just me and Josh were going through the stat earlier this morning on the Extra Point Show. Lembo's doing something, Pete Lembo, the head coach, that hasn't been done at UB since like 1897. A first-year head coach at UB winning seven games.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. And then, as well, so Dolak, he's leading the FBS in tackles. He's second in interceptions with five. That's his first one of two. The other one being a pick six to clinch the game.
Yeah.
I believe his name is Red Murdoch. Is second in the FBS in tackles. He's a junior. So they're going to have another elite senior linebacker coming in.
Yeah.
And this is a team that had Joe Andreessen last year.
Yes, they really are doing a good job of...
Incredible.
Of finding guys in the middle of the field that can make these plays. So it's good for UB there. By the way, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, we are not the familiar voices that you would normally hear.
You may be surprised by that, I know.
We are not on your television. That's probably good news for all of you as well. But we are here, though, for another hour before Chopin Bulldog take over here on WGR. So if you want to chime in, how you feeling about the Bills? I don't even know if we have a general question here today. Whatever nonsense you got, bring it in. As we get connected with our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Bill in Virginia to open things up here on the phone lines in hour number two. Bill, welcome to, I guess, just hanging out here with Derek and Zach.
Okay, thank you. Hey, I was listening to Frank, and I couldn't disagree more. Just thank you, guys. I was just looking up stats. Shakir is second in the league in yards after the catch. Even though Jamar Chase is number one, he has like 73 catches. Shakir only has like 59, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually ahead of 56. He's ahead of Jamar Chase by 2 yards per catch. Where Diggs before he got hurt, his yak was 3.9. So 3.9 yards after the catch, Shakir is 8.2. He's just been phenomenal. So I don't miss Diggs at all. Plus all the, drama on the sidelines. We were just, plus we don't have to pay him $25 million next year or whatever it would be. Mm-hmm. I know we were on the hook this year, but glad to see him go. Plus the offensive line's been fantastic, so I don't know what Frank's saying. But.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Bill, appreciate it. And yeah, I wanted to be nice.
They got a great young core, though, on that.
Yes,
well, I don't want to say necessarily young.
It's not young.
Because Deion's up there in age.
Deion's up there, Spencer's quote up there. Like, they've got their extensions.
Well, Brown, I think, is 25, just got his extension. But Osiris Torrance in year two, I don't think he's missed a game since he got drafted.
Nope.
So you're set at right guard, and he's been very, very
good. On the right side entirely.
He's been good. He did a great job against Chris Jones.
Oh, my God. That was such... Oh, man, now that you bring that up, what a weird time to think that the offensive line's not doing well.
He did a very, very good job.
Osiris Torrance locked down one of the best defensive tackles in football.
Yeah, they've been very good. On
but
the
offensive line was not good?
No, I think you said it was average or mediocre.
Still wrong.
Regardless, also on the yak point with Shakir, that was a big thing, too, last year that Joe Brady seemed to be trying to get going with Stephon Diggs later in the season was try to get him those swing passes.
Manufactured
targets and just get him the ball, get him going on yak. That's also been something the Bills have been banging the drum for like 3 years. Shakir comes in. I mean, he's been incredible on those swing and screen passes of just being able to just get to the ball, make one cut, boom, and he's going towards the sticks. He's not going to be the traditional number one. Here, a perfect example. On the yak numbers, Jamar Chase leads the way. Chase is that traditional number one. You know, Justin Jefferson.
He's that guy.
I'd even say Puka Nacua, when he's healthy, you can argue he's like the traditional number one. Shakir, though, can be a guy that is just like a better version, in his prime, better version of Cole Beasley. And with that, you've already seen what that'll do with Josh Allen.
I wouldn't even call it Cole Beasley. He's a current day version, I would think, of Wes Welker.
Wes Welker, other guys like Amon Ross St. Brown.
More yak-based. Yeah. Like Cole Beasley was a guy, he knew how to find the soft spot and sit.
Yep.
He was a reader. Khalil Shakir gets the football and then gets mad.
And yeah, just he's a bouncy ball out there, too.
You want to tackle me? How dare you?
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun. I mean, we've both been big fans.
Genuinely, by the way, thank you, by the way, for making me see the light immediately on Khalil Shakir. On day three of the draft, we're in like round six. We're talking to some guy from Boise saying, I can't believe Buffalo got him in the fifth round. And immediately that was when I was sold. I'm like, all right, we went less than one round. And I'm like, I'm all in on this guy. And
he was a big draft Twitter crush. I'll say that, too. Like, I was not alone in that. Aaron Quinn of Cover One joined me and Josh yesterday. Sam Monson joined Shobla Bullock. He kind of said the same thing. He was a big
draft. A lot of
draft
people were
Twitter
very
crush.
Surprised that he was available then and Buffalo got him where they did.
I will tell you, the one thing I was definitely wrong on, and I'm only slightly annoyed the Bills have never done it, he ran the ball actually a lot at Boise State, or at least enough to.
He's also a good punt returner.
I kind of thought he'd actually be like a little bit of like a baby Deebo Samuel, because that was around that time is when Deebo Samuel like
was
really
starting to do his thing. Yeah,
and I was like, oh, like they can use him on the backfield. He does have that. We're seeing it, the pinball aspect, and they were using him on the backfield. Never did that. I also wasn't prepared for these catch percentage numbers though.
I don't think anyone was ready for this.
He dropped one ball against Kansas City. That was not a well-thrown ball by Allen. And to tell you, this is no shot towards Chris Brown, but I hear the radio call, then I see it on TV. It's a little bit of a delay. I thought Chris was wrong. I mean, flat out, I was like, there's no way he dropped a ball. There's just no way he dropped a ball. And he did, but like, I mean, that's the confidence he has instilled in me of just like,
and that was Allen putting a hot read a little too hot.
Yeah, he's built that confidence now, I think, even with Allen, too.
If you hear the words, he dropped it, and it's Khalil Shakir, you're like, you're lying to me.
You can like hear the audible gasps in the audience of,
but like,
you're seeing Allen go to a more of just, I'm just going to send this up. He's 10 yards down the field. We're going to toss it up there. It's bringing his success rate down. But.
He's so efficient, though, that I knew how doomed they were in Baltimore. When he missed a target.
Yeah.
I was like, Khalil Shakir didn't catch a ball that was targeted for him? Oh, they're losing today.
Yeah, and then he picks up the...
Well, he had the record already.
No, but the ankle injury.
Yeah, but then he picks up the injury, too, and
then
it
was like,
matters
oh, no.
worse.
And you saw, too.
Like, I realized how doomed they were when it was like a third down, and he doesn't get the completion, and I'm like... Oh, we're having that kind of night.
And you saw against Houston. I mean, when he was out of the game... That offense radically changed. And now that they have Amari Cooper, it's different. I think they could miss Shakir and still be okay. Allen will go 9 for 30. But I think both the Shakir injury and then seeing what was around him, I think that really pushed the team into, we've got to go get a guy now. Let's go back to the phones here. Scott on the line. Scott, how are we doing today?
Good, good. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, poor Frank. 30 points, 9-2, and an MVP quarterback. You got to have a good line to do that. But listen, since it's a bye week, I just want to spice it up a little. And I'm going to give you my adjectives and, you know, then one thought at the end. So I really think the Bills, I think at worst, just looking at the future, 13-4, maybe at worst.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl, so these are all losses. Super Bowl loss is acceptable. AFC Championship, that sucks. Divisional, crushing. And if they have to play a wild card game, that's devastating. And I almost think that would, and not saying it should be, because if you're 13-4 or better, but what do you think if it were a wild card, maybe even divisional, are we at a Andy Reid, Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles kind of situation? Like, man, thanks for everything, but we're just not getting over the hump. I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for the call.
Scott,
this is an interesting conversation.
First of all, I love when anyone says, hey, it's the bye week, let's have some fun with a different question or a different thing. So thank you, Scott. I appreciate that mindset. Second of all, thanks for the doomsday scenario. Really appreciate it. we're flying high here. But to answer the question, Andy Reid didn't just get fired for not getting over the hump. They had
the team did ultimately get bad.
The infamous Dream Team didn't make the playoffs.
He also didn't win a playoff game for, I think, 4 years and then missed it two in a row.
Yes.
I mean, that's really...
That's ultimately what it came down to, is that there was actually a decline in the production.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if the Bills lose in Groundhog Day in the divisional round again, I feel like that would be more frustrating than losing in the wild card round. If they lose in the wild card round, it would probably prove to me something Zach said this morning on the Extra Point Show, which was there's a very thin margin between the top of the AFC this year and its playoff hierarchy. If they lose in the divisional round again, that's just me going, why do we bother?
I'm just bashing my head on the table.
Yes.
Just wake me up, please.
It's literally the definition of insanity at that point, because they keep losing in the same place. If they lose in the AFC Championship game, I could stomach that because we didn't know what this team was heading into the season. But also, you've made some progress.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose in the Super Bowl, Zach, take it away.
I'm going to be depressed. you thought Aaron Rodgers went on darkness retreats. Our boss is going to get an email from me the next day going, hey, just want to let you know I'm going to be taking 2 weeks off. Now, this is not me quitting. I need 2 weeks to recover.
I need 2 weeks.
I will go to the mountains of Montana.
What happens to this place if they lose a Super Bowl? I'm scared. You just said it, and now, like, I'm just going to stare right at Evan and go, mercy upon your soul if they lose a Super Bowl.
I think for me, it's just
quite simply, the
idea of them being 0-5 in the big game. I was not alive for 0-4. I know the war stories, essentially.
I was,
but that's about
baby.
It.
I was a kid. I didn't know what football really was.
For me, too, there's a good chance if you lose, and I'm just going off this year, if you did lose in the Super Bowl, there's a really good chance it's Detroit.
Oh, God.
And then that will also
be the
thing
of... I feel like that hurts more.
I think, yeah, there's that feeling of, you guys have been good for 15 minutes, and now I got to deal with this.
And you also get to win your first.
It's a lot like the Saints. It's a lot like the Saints in 09, where like you guys were the Aints forever, and were good for 5 minutes, and you won. That's not fair.
Well, I mean, they kind of had that little run in 2006.
But it's the same thing with Detroit. You guys have been good for 15 minutes. Your whole history has been bad.
There's an entire franchise of ineptitude, whereas the Bills have actually been to the big game 4 times, and they've lost all 4 times. So the other part of it for me would just be like, it would hurt to lose to a team that also gets to take from you the rights of, I got it first.
Yeah.
I got my first win.
And you can hold that up forever.
Especially with a city like a Buffalo, like a Detroit, like a Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Those fan bases can look at you like a Cleveland. You win your first Super Bowl, that could be your only Super Bowl, and everyone will be loving it.
Yeah.
They'll be like, hey, remember that time? Actually, no. That's a lie. I'm going to tell that right now. You think Jets fans bring up that they have a Super Bowl?
110%.
No, they don't.
110%.
No, those people.
Any fan over the age of 40 absolutely does. I'm not saying they should. No. I'm saying they do.
Miami fans do it all the time.
Well, every year we got to hear about how the undefeated team used to pop champagne.
Yeah.
After like week six most years.
But also that's, it was also something Evan pointed out on Sunday. Even Miami fans had to cheer for Buffalo because that was the best chance of making sure to pop the champagne corks. And that's evil because
If I'm a Jets fan, absolutely.
But also Jets fans, you're dealing with a playoffless streak that's longer than the Buffalo Sabres. I'm pretty sure they're dead inside.
Not great. Well, that's where they're like, I wasn't alive for that, but Joe Namath, baby. My grandpa loved him. Like that's where they're at.
And
now.
That Super Bowl was Joe Namath got a bag of pixie dust.
Yeah, funny enough, like from what I remember about that game, obviously for him,
they should have on paper had no business winning that game.
But also, like for him, his biggest contribution is what he said before the game. After that, it was more rushing.
Yes.
I can't remember the running back's name, but it was more
Matt
that.
Snell.
Yeah, it's Snell
the
winning
Super
the game.
Bowl nerd
yes,
here.
It just
and Namath's biggest contribution is I guarantee it, we're gonna win it.
Yeah.
His biggest contribution?
That is his biggest contribution to
society.
That,
with that being said, Super Bowl III is like foundational to like the modern NFL we have today.
Yes.
So if I was a Jets fan, sure. I would hold that over everyone forever.
No, if I have 14 years without... It's like, we've done this, actually.
Yeah.
We're dead inside when we were dealing with the drought. Sabres fan base right now is dead inside. Like, you get to a certain amount of time where you don't even sniff the playoffs. You don't care about the past.
I mean, I just got through this as being a Texas fan. I mean, they're good now, but for a lot of my teen years, like they were bad. Oh, baby, you better remember, or you better know that I remembered Richard Nixon declaring the Texas Longhorns a national champion in 69. Absolutely.
You were not there for that. I wasn't there for that.
Nope. You better bet, though. I'm going to remember it and make sure it's brought up. They actually have four national championships. Never forget.
It's not entirely the truth, I guess. If you win one, I feel like it's an addiction. You want them, like, because you get the feeling of it being on top. And that's something that I heard from our friend Louis DiBiase, actually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Joe's brother, someone that he was here for a little bit of time as well. Like, Louis is an Eagles fan. He got to experience what that feeling was. And now, in the current day and age, though, he's still looking for his team to continue winning. Because you felt it. You tasted it. We're starving for that.
Yeah.
And I bet you that, yes, there will be plenty of people that go away happy. But there are going to be enough of us, as a fan base within Buffalo, that goes, that was cool. Can we do it again?
Oh, I already know that's going to be my personality.
Yeah.
My personality as an athlete when I was swimming in high school and college was I wanted as many records as possible.
I wanted to do it again.
For the sheer fact of I loved the euphoric feeling, but also like this is going to sound really arrogant. I wanted to be remembered forever. Whether it was a small thing? Sure.
Well, yeah.
But like
in the player's sense, yes, but I'm talking like as fans.
But then as fans, like I want like the Bills to never be forgotten. That when people are like, "Oh, you know, writing a chapter on this era of the Bills," or on the NFL, the Bills have to be acknowledged. I know a lot of people don't like this about Eli Manning when it comes to his Hall of Fame resume.
He has a Hall of Fame resume because he won two Super Bowls.
He won two Super Bowls. For the Bills, we're already kind of there.
Like if he didn't win any of those, like Eli Manning is a forgotten piece of NFL history.
He's Peyton's brother.
Yes.
That's it. But he wins two Super Bowls against Patriots. He took two rings away from Brady. So honestly, that makes him an American hero for most people. But then... You know, for the Bills, we're already kind of there. Like this, the 2020s will be talked about as what was the best rivalry, Bills Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to be the team? The Chiefs. They won three Super Bowls. They were going for three in a row. They may even still make three in a row. But if the Bills can get one or two in the next 6-7 years, all of a sudden, like
it's a pocket of relevance.
You have to talk about them forever.
It's a pocket of relevance.
It's a pocket of relevance. The Eagles. You brought up Louis. They won in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of fluttered away.
Yes.
They're still competitive. They even made a Super Bowl with Jalen Hurts, but they've kind of gone back and forth. But what's their moment of relevance? What's always going to be remembered for them? Nick Foles won the Super
Philly,
Bowl.
Philly,
and Nick Foles. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Where for the Bills and on our fan base now, of course, it'll be you were 0-4, but now you're in there, so there's two pockets of relevance for Bills fans. You
yes.
even count OJ in there from the early years and,
yes.
and even the merger.
That is something that, as a fan base, you kind of crave. And that's what I'm saying. Like, If the Bills win one, I'm not going to guarantee that we're done. It's not a one before we die. It's not one before we die. That's not how fans are made anymore.
I was like that before the 2021
because
playoff game.
Even if you've been starving for it, like I'm obviously not old enough to relate to our older listeners on this base, on this question even. But are you really going to be done watching them if they win a Super Bowl? Because that's the mission at that point. One before I die, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like that's with any of us. Are you going to stop just because they win it? No.
Nope.
You're going to want to taste that victory again as a fan. So, like I said, it's not something that I'm going to go ahead and automatically assume that we'll be happy forever.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. Frank in Woodstock here on the line. Frank, good afternoon. How are we doing today?
Hey, guys. Great show. Hey, I think you misunderstood Frank. He thought he was on the Jets radio station. You just got it confused, that's all, or he got it confused. But at any rate, I had a couple things. Great show, love you guys, listen to you every day. I think I'm the only Bills fan down here in Woodstock. Of course, you know I'm in Jets territory and Giants. Geez, I almost forgot what I wanted to ask now. But anyways, it was a great show. And oh, I know what it was. Do the Bills have to keep up with Kansas City to get a first seed? Or will Kansas City always have that jump on them?
Yeah, Frank, they are a half game back now because of the win, so they are going to have to keep up with them. What's nice, though, is I would argue both have a similar difficulty in schedule remaining.
I wouldn't say that.
Would you say the Chiefs have the easier one?
Yes.
I'm not going to go that far. They have Denver, LA, and Pittsburgh. And I think the way their offense is playing against three of those defenses, I think they can get them.
Let me solve each of those problems for you here. Unfortunately, this is the most pessimistic I'm going to feel today. Denver, it is still a young quarterback, and the Kansas City defense has been good this year.
Very good.
Very good this year. They will frustrate him, probably. Two, the Chargers. I don't trust them until they actually prove it to me.
And it's got to be, yeah, because I was going to say, for me, I saw the Bengals game, I'm good. You're more thinking it's got to be a little
I
bit
saw longer. The Bengals game and I thought it's the same old Chargers.
Yeah, that's fair.
Except Harbaugh's able to actually break them out of it every now and then.
They may or may not have almost blown it.
Yes. So I don't trust them at all. They're also the last team to let Xavier Worthy go over the top.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous throw, though.
It was, but like that's also throw. The last team to let that happen because, of course, it was the Chargers.
Well, I mean, the Bills gave up a drive for him.
Yes, but that was clearly Andy Reid listened to me on Saturday and wanted me to like eat so much crow that my stomach was full.
For about a half.
I texted Jeremy immediately after that drive. Jeremy and I were texting, and I just immediately it was one word that I'm not allowed to say on radio. And it was just like elongated, just like, like that kind of like exasperation to it. It was great.
But I mean, the Chiefs have been playing with
fire. But then he had nothing else after that drive.
No, it's fair. But the Chiefs have been playing with fire all year. I'm not saying they're going to lose to Carolina this weekend. That would be awesome.
First of all, that would mean you're starting to help cause a collapse.
True.
But secondly,
I don't think it's going to happen. I will say, though, and we've already
Pittsburgh's their tough game. I do believe in that. But the Bills, I think, have two higher quality opponents than any that Kansas City is boasting.
San Francisco and Detroit.
I'm not taking San Fran lightly, even though they're injured,
mm-hmm.
because they have been a good team. They are a great team, and injuries are the reason they are where they are. It is not production. It is because they've had half of their lineup out.
Yeah.
And man, Brock Purdy is good enough to keep them afloat.
Mm-hmm.
They're alive, despite everything. They didn't have Christian McCaffrey for 10 weeks.
Yep. And they're still alive. They're still there.
They're still there. Very relevant.
Ayuk's been hurt for half the season. He's not coming back.
And they're still hanging around.
With that being said, though, McDermott is 6-0 off the bye. And we're going to dive into this more tomorrow.
Big.
The Bills in December.
But it's not the 49ers. That's my big question mark. It's Detroit.
Detroit. We'll say on them. And real quick. They have gotten out to such early leads in these last few blowouts, whether it be through turnovers and defensive touchdowns, what have you, bad teams. They have been allowed to just ride the Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery train. I mean, to victory. The Houston game,
I find that incredibly impressive. Their identity.
It is.
And that's a problem for the Bills.
But like I was saying earlier, with the Bills and the run defense, if you can keep up with them, throwing the ball and scoring, and you're getting healthier. We'll see if that maintains. I don't think the Lions are going to be able to stick with their identity. And then you're also in a dome, so even weather factor for the Bills and their passing attack won't be as diminished as, you know, even being here in Buffalo or really anywhere else. 803-0550, the number to call. Kind of just riffing, having a good day today. Talking the Bills, good vibes as well.
Zach two Jones, dudes.
Yeah, two dudes hanging out, just vibing. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on WGR.
It's going to happen. If not my lifetime, Luke's lifetime. The Bills are going to win the damn Super Bowl. I'm telling you, we're going to get it.
Tim Russert there.
Hey, man. It's a feeling.
Hope so. But actually, I mean, to be fair, I've said this for years, really, since I've been in the station. I think Allen's too good of a quarterback to not get one.
Yes. Frustratingly so. Like, to know what it's like to be, like, a Chargers fan, like, I hope I never, ever have to end this discussion with that similarity.
Yeah.
Like, by God, do not let this be a Philip Rivers situation. By the way, I'm hoping that you get one. Like, yeah, one's great. But I said this off the air, and I just needed to say it while we're on now.
Mm-hmm.
Winning is like Halloween candy. You're not going to stop.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, how many
you're
fans
are
actually...
You're going to get a damn stomach ache. You're going to feel like you want to throw up, and then there's going to be one more thing of Skittle sit in front of you and go...
You got to eat it.
Okay.
I wonder, though, how many fans are actually out there in reality. I mean, especially because Buffalo's wanted one for so long. Any championship.
Right? Yes.
In their two major
And then you're done
markets.
With Skittles, and oh, hey, there's a Twix there.
Oh, there you go.
See? Like...
I think for a lot of people, it is going to be like, I want another one. I want another one. It does help, too, that you have a superstar.
Oh, look, a Snickers.
Yeah, but I mean, it helps, too, that you have a superstar quarterback. So then it becomes like, I want him to be part of a legacy talks forever.
So here was something. I'm bringing up Louis again for the second time here today. And that's because before a certain infamous recent playoff game loss, Louis came in with a question. And it was a very fun, fascinating one that I had a very different answer for. He said, would you take the Aaron Rodgers career arc for Josh Allen? And I said no, because I do believe that this Bills team should be winning more than one. It was arrogant of me because, well, I've been humbled in the years since as a fan because they, A, that night lost in the most infuriating way possible, and then, B, proceeded to lose in the divisional round the next 2 years after that. So... it was arrogant of me to say it, but also it's believing that, as you said, Josh Allen is good enough that he should have one on his resume, if not more.
Mm-hmm. I think as well, too, it's fair to bring up that Mahomes is kind of taking the air out of the balloon for the NFL for most of these young quarterbacks.
Most of them, almost all of them.
All of them. The other two quarterbacks.
Joe Burrow
who have won
is literally riding an AFC championship victory to his relevance at this point. And he's been very good this year. The defense is letting them down.
Oh, man, that team as a whole is bad.
That team, though, is bad. And
it's
Joe Burrow.
Him, Chase, and Trey Hendrickson.
Honestly, you might want to get Joe Burrow out of that organization.
He signed his deal already, didn't he?
He did. So it's already doomed.
Oh, that's tough.
I mean, come on, look at the Russell Wilson trade. Anything can happen.
That's fair. It's very right. And then Burrow's in that spot, too, where, I mean, look, he's putting up these numbers. You feel good about him. But, yeah, I mean, the other two quarterbacks who have won Super Bowl since Mahomes entered the league has been Matthew Stafford once and Tom Brady.
Yeah, that is it. And it was only Matthew Stafford because it was just going to not be Patrick Mahomes that time.
Yeah, it was him against Burrow.
Yeah, there was actually no Mahomes option. Because so, who did Brady beat?
Mahomes in the AFC Championship game.
No.
Oh, in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Tom Brady has beaten Patrick Mahomes.
Man, he has taken some Super Bowls away from him.
He's taken Super Bowls away from... Yeah, Brady took Super Bowl wins away from Mahomes, oddly enough. But, like, Mahomes has robbed any sort of extra quality of a career that Lamar Jackson has.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or... dare I even say, like, a Justin Herbert. Jalen Hurts could have had a chance to cement his legacy.
Yep.
And yet here we are talking about the same curly-headed dude... with the Kermit voice frustrating us year in, year out in the playoffs. So, yeah, it does feel damn good that you beat the snoot out of them.
I just want one time, at least, hopefully more, where we're not having an AFC championship game and talking about the Chiefs. Because ever since Mahomes became a starter, they have made it to the AFC championship game at least.
Yeah.
I mean, I fully believe it'll happen soon. Andy Reid's not going to coach till he's 85, and he won't be the best coach forever until he retires. Look at what Belichick would happen with him.
The game did eventually pass him by. But the difference is that Reid is an offensive mind, though.
Sure.
And he is a creative.
Absolutely. But so I do eventually think he'll still be good and not great. But
it'll take longer for that decline.
Sure.
I think.
But then also, Kelsey, he's been their fix-all in the passing game for a long time. Now he's not. And you're seeing that kind of deteriorate a little bit.
His physical skills have declined a little
bit. We've mentioned it as well. Their talent evaluating at the wide receiver position is lacking heavily since getting rid of Tyreek Hill. Even before that, this is a team that brought in Mecole Hardman hoping he'd be like their number two receiver. He's kind of just a guy for them.
Got rid of him and brought him back even.
Yep. So, look, their careers are long. You're going to have a point, yeah, where it was the same thing with Brady and Manning. There were years where it wasn't really those two. Oftentimes it was. But they were also sort of
alone. But Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger threw their teams into the mix.
But even to that point, too, they were kind of alone. It was them and then the other two greats of their era were in the NFC. It was Rodgers and Breeze.
And Breeze couldn't get there for the life of him, nor could Rodgers after his first appearance.
They both got to one, won it, and that was it. The AFC quarterback group, I guess, is much bigger. It is Mahomes. It is Allen. It is Lamar. It is Burrow.
It is so much bigger.
You know, you could even throw, if you want to, Stroud in there. I think Stroud
should be a name here.
Is going to eventually, I think, be a name in there.
And, like, for some reason, Russell Wilson has found his game again.
Yep.
And, he's not in Seattle anymore. Son of a, he's over here.
Yep. And then in the NFC, though, there is also, I think, a little bit more disparity.
It's like the football gods are like, hey, can we get more, you know what it is? Tom Brady's threatened. He's like, hey, can we get more quarterbacks to go in the AFC so that we can stop Mahomes? Wait, no. They're all there?
Yeah, now, and he's
still
What do
you mean they're all there?
But that's the thing, too. Like, Brady retires, and I think people are already having conversations about the GOAT already because of what Mahomes has been able to do already.
And again, wins are still not a quarterback stat.
No, correct.
But it's not helping.
No, it's not helping at all. It is exciting, though.
So not helping.
It's exciting, and again, I've mentioned this a lot. Really, especially this week, but really all year. It's exciting how good they are in a year in transition, speaking on the Bills, that we went into this year kind of hoping, like, 7-4. They're 7-4 this period? Awesome. Great. They're
totally acceptable. Transition.
Them being 9-2, fighting for a one seed, getting that win over Kansas City so that in a way, not totally, but in a way, they kind of control their own destiny.
In a way.
Is huge. And it's something to commend both the coaching staff, the general manager, everybody, of being able to put together a really good team, even when you had to eat a ton of cap, even when you got rid of all of these aging leadership guys, this team comes in. Sean Bulldog took a call yesterday where the guy kind of mentioned that this team almost feels more adult. And I would
actually
agree on that.
Hang on. I would actually say the opposite. They're a bunch of fun-loving goofballs. Like, I think of the personality that is Mac Hollins.
That's right. Yep.
I think of any time I see them mic'd up, they're just they're a bunch of golden retrievers.
Led by Allen.
Led by the biggest golden retriever.
I'll say the reason why I think that maybe they're more adult. They haven't lost that fluky game. Where's the Billsy loss been? Where's the Urban Meyer, the Zach Wilson loss?
But I think that's also how being too adult might actually do it. You think too much.
You wound up too tight.
Whereas they are literally just a bunch of smooth brains playing a game.
Running around having fun.
And I love that.
But then also, and we've already had a caller bring it up today too, not really dealing with any crazy tweets. I don't have to decipher what a player is saying in the media.
And ready? That's also Stephon Diggs being intense.
Oh,
that's
of course.
Not,
yes.
That's not,
yes.
Like, it's not like the drama thing that's being intense. And there's a difference, and it's something that I do believe still needs to be given its proper respect. Stephon Diggs still wanted to win here. He wants to win no matter where he is. That intensity, though, may not fit with a quarterback who wants to kind of just be a lovable goofball.
Yeah, and kind of maybe almost too much is like I'm playing a game.
Yes.
For a living, and I'm making millions of dollars doing so.
We're supposed to be having fun doing this, and like the Mr. Brightside thing suddenly becoming a thing at home. Why does that happen? Because you've got two knuckleheads lovingly start air guitaring everywhere in Dalton Kincaid and Mac Hollins.
That's just tight ends. Never forget Dawson Knox as well.
Yeah, but like it starts with those two just goofing off, dancing around, giving the air guitar session, and I really think it is. Like, I don't know if they're more adult. I think they just might be more relaxed. And think about it, the last 2 years.
I mentioned that to Sal too.
The last 2 years, they were the betting favorites. People and athletes will tell us all the time, oh, we try to keep the outside noise out. We try to keep it all out. Bull honky.
Mm-hmm.
You're human and it's okay.
But
be human, be relaxed, be at your best.
I was Sal joined me and Josh yesterday for the Extra Point Show, and that was something I brought up of just something I noticed. I'm not around McDermott as much as he is, or really the rest of the media is, but I have noticed more like in post game. Yeah, sure, it has to be wins. I get it. But he is cracking more jokes. He's having more fun. He does seem to be a little bit more lighthearted. There's a lot more emotion. You see a lot of those like post game press conferences, not the post game press conferences, but the post game videos in the locker room.
Yes,
he's really fired up the whole thing, and the team seem to have more of a relaxed vibe. I think even they came into this year thinking like, oh, we can win it this year, but that's not the end all be all goal. Like if you don't get it, the season is a complete abject failure. Like it has felt. The last 2 years when your team was getting older.
Your team, but it's also, they were older, and therefore there's more intensity to, hey, let's get these guys that ring. Because we know this is their last dance together. We know that this is this core, this mini core, it's their last chance. And they lost a lot of players this year because it was time to move on. So there was that inherent pressure. Now that pressure is gone. That pressure does not exist. They are a team that realizes this new subcore is only just beginning.
It's a young team. I've mentioned it a lot too earlier in the year, less so now, but like they're going to have 9 draft picks going in next year, more cap space. They're likely going to use on guys like Greg Rousseau and stuff like that.
The Buffalo Bills are that double window. Mm-hmm. One side closed, but the other opened.
Yep.
So there is still a window open with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's window. Just one side of it closed. That's the subcore.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one simultaneously opens with this new group that now includes an Amari Cooper that is expressing he's having fun. The antithesis of the Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
He's having fun because he's winning games here, and it seems like it's an electric place to be, and it's a great place in the locker room to be. That again tells me it is a relaxed scenario. It is a relaxed environment.
And sometimes that is actually for the best.
And that has allowed for them to play better because you can go back in and go, I don't need to worry about that last drive because we can do this and we're going to have fun doing it.
803-0550, the number to call. Spent a lot of time on the Bills today, although, Derek, you want to touch a little bit on the Sabres.
And I think we'll do that to end it.
We'll do that after a quick timeout. You're listening to Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, and this is WGR.
There we go, baby. So, 1-3, not a bad time here. Thank you to everyone that's called in. Thank you to everyone that that tweets, texts, anyone bringing their side to things, dunking on Frank. You know, everyone had a great time today, and so did we. So, thank you to everyone that listened, called, brought their stuff here today for two dudes live. Hanging out here in lieu of Chris Brown and Steve Tasker and the crew down at One Bills Live. We get to do this again tomorrow. I'm excited for that. And I'm also excited to bring you the stats of the Bills hitting their stretch run because we're about to see it. These are numbers that are fun. They tell the picture of what this team has been year after year and how we may still yet to see the best that this team can bring. Because here we are in the stretch run. Now, that said, I went 1 hour and 51 minutes without talking about the hockey team, and that's going to stop.
And I couldn't have been more proud of you.
I mean, I did it for like a smidgen there,
and
I brought them in as a reference for like being a drought thing.
Yep.
But that was a gritty, gutsy win last night in L.A. I was very happy to see that because that's how you undo the bad taste in your mouth from the Philadelphia loss. You have no Tage. You have no Greenway. UPL is just coming back into this one. What are you going to get? What do you expect to get? They played some of their most responsible defensive hockey and pretty much beat the Kings at their own game. They wanted to slow things down a little bit for you, and they wanted to play that old that rougher tumble Western Conference hockey. And the Sabres said, all right, let's go.
5 for 5 on the penalty kill.
5 for 5 on the penalty kill.
Props to everybody.
Secondly, like, I think Zach Benson's best shift came toward the end of the second period on that last penalty kill of that period, where he makes a couple of great reads, intercepts, gets the puck out of the zone. Beck Malenstein takes a puck off the side of the knee, which I know the padding of shin guards. That didn't tickle. And then, as Paul was saying with Brayton, like, the 6-on-5 scenario, they executed that almost flawlessly.
That's what I was about to bring up. Props to them for being on the ice for so long and be able to hold them off.
It was one of those things where, like, everything seemed to be in sync with defending in that game. And I mean, as a whole, even strength, their scariest chance was when essentially Joakim Haju had to force himself into taking a penalty. Yeah. But UPL stood up in that game, had himself a great return to the lineup. And now, you better not do this again where you lose to Anaheim like you did twice last year.
Anaheim please, on Friday, San Jose on Saturday.
Please don't. Like, I know you can handle San Jose. For some reason, Anaheim last year was a Rubik's Cube. Don't do it again.
Yep.
Please don't do it again. You might be getting Tage back in the lineup for that one as well. Greenway is on the trip, I do believe. So
no, I think no, he's not.
Oh, he's not. Okay,
he's week to week.
He's week to. Oh boy. So you're not going to have Greenway for a little bit, but you're expecting to get Tage back at any moment here against two of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. Oh, and the rest of the Atlantic is terrible. But also, I have to say this while we have like 40 seconds left. Mm-hmm. The New York Islanders are the worst thing that happened to modern day hockey. They already have 5 overtime losses. They have as many regulation and overtime wins as the Anaheim Ducks.
Ooh. Ooh. Yep.
They're the dregs of society that the NHL keeps dragging along and saying, yeah, you're a real team.
I don't think the NHL wants them to be good, though. They play a boring style of hockey.
Damn them.
They're not fun. And yet, yeah, they pick up loser points better than almost anybody.
Because they are losers. Yep. There's only one team with less regulation and overtime wins than them. San Jose.
Boy, Sabres do play again total tomorrow frauds at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. But coming up next after a quick timeout, Sholin Bulldog, you're listening to WGR.